Good morning. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Pastor Anna didn't leave me her sermon series to roll on, so we went back to the lectionary today. Maybe you noticed that there's a little bit of a skip in our gospel today. We skip from verse 34 and flip on into later. So Mark leaves out one of my favorite miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. But in the Revised Common Lectionary, next week's passage will be that feeding of the 5,000. I'm glad I didn't prepare my sermon based on the feeding of the 5,000 for sure, but I think it would have been fine anyway. Well, here we are today with Mark. Mark had the shortest of the Gospels. He didn't include a lot of things of Jesus' life. He didn't cover his birth. He didn't cover his going to the temple and teaching at the age of 12. But the other Gospels actually looked at Mark's Gospel for some of their inspiration, as he was the first to put down the life of Jesus according to Mark. Mark leads us to Jesus and his disciples, now called apostles today. They've reunited after they were commissioned by Jesus to go out in pairs to preach and to teach others. Mark doesn't always give us Jesus' specific words or actions in detail, like our other Gospels, but he does give us time to think and to fill in the blanks with all that we know from the other Gospels. Mark leaves us, though, with questions. I'll start with this question. I wonder how Jesus was feeling at the beginning of this story. He'd been experiencing some of the joys and struggles of his ministry. He'd seen people's lives changed as they encountered God's goodness through his teachings, through his miracles, and through his healings. He had also been rejected by the people of his own village. And when John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin and partner in ministry, had been arrested and murdered by King Herod. This happened just after Jesus had sent his disciples out in pairs for their first missionary journey, giving them the authority to cast out evil spirits. Now, at the beginning of verse 30, Mark tells us that Jesus' disciples had returned to him, and they were about to tell Jesus all about what had happened. However, there were so many people coming and going that they couldn't even find time to eat, let alone debrief about the events of their missionary journey. So they headed off in a boat to try to find some time alone together. People worked out what was going on, and they arrived ahead of them. So when Jesus and his disciples got there, the place was already full of people waiting for Jesus. Next question. You're in the boat with Jesus. You're approaching that shore. You see all those masses of people that you were trying to get away from just so you'd have time to rest and to eat. What do? Would you turn the boat around and look for another quiet place to be alone with your friends? Would you tell the crowds to go away and give you some time for yourself? Or would you just lie down in the boat, pull a tarp up over your head, and hide until everybody goes away? But we should be in constant awe of what Jesus did next. He didn't run away to find some precious me time. He didn't get mad at the crowds. He didn't hide and hope that they would go away. Mark tells us that when Jesus saw the huge crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he started teaching them. So our English word compassion doesn't really do justice to Jesus' reaction when he saw the crowds on the shore. I don't know that I can pronounce this correctly because I don't know Greek, but the Greek word sphagnesomai describes something moving in the inner organs of Jesus' body. A more modern English equivalent could be that Jesus' stomach turned at the scene in front of him, or it was a gut-wrenching experience for him. Possibly even that Jesus' heart broke for the people that he saw. However we might try to describe it, when Jesus saw the crowd of people, something moved deep inside of him, and that made him want to help them. So a lot's changed in this world since that journey in a boat over 2,000 years ago. But the human condition is still pretty much the same. Most people are searching for something in our lives. We have problems or challenges that can make every day difficult. We might be experiencing physical or mental illnesses, relationship breakdowns, or financial difficulties. We might be struggling with questions about who we are and where we belong in the world, or even what our purpose in life might be. Most of us have something we're struggling with in life, and we tend to tell ourselves that we'll be fine if we just try a little bit harder, do a little bit more, work smarter. But these are myths. The great myths of our postmodern culture, that we can just find our own way through the mess, or if we could just be mindful of where we are, then we'll be okay. But that's our mistake. That sounds a lot like sheep without a shepherd. We're all doing our own thing, going our own ways and looking for greater grass or greener grass to somehow make life better, more complete, more peaceful, or more of something that is right now. I wonder if Jesus still looks at us, sees us in our existential wandering like sheep without a shepherd, and if his stomach is still turning with compassion for us. What surprises me about this story is what Jesus did to help the people he saw. When people are moved with compassion, we might expect them to make a financial donation to a worthy charity, cook someone a meal, or do something else just as practical. Jesus didn't do any of these. Instead, he moved with compassion toward the crowds of people and began to teach. I'd love to know exactly what Jesus said to the crowd that day. All we can really do is guess, based on what Jesus had already been teaching in the Gospel of Mark. Maybe he taught them about the kingdom of God, which comes to us in the most unexpected ways, making the first last and the last first. Maybe Jesus taught about the presence of God, not with the rich or powerful or the beautiful, but with the humble, the poor, the impoverished, and the needy. Maybe he taught them to find grace and peace and to rest in his presence with them, instead of the constant pursuing of doing more, doing better, or doing anything. Maybe he taught them that heaven isn't just a nice place we go when we die, but it's the reality we live in now through faith in truly present and perfectly loving God. Maybe Jesus taught them that the kingdom of God isn't out there somewhere, but it's right here, made real in all the flaws and imperfections and struggles and shortcomings of a community of believers who are gathered by the Holy Spirit as the living, breathing embodiment of the living Christ in our world. And maybe he taught them to turn away from trying to work things out for themselves and ourselves, and to turn to him, to trust in him, as he is the one who has everything that we need for life in this world and the next. What if Jesus wants to teach us this new way of life, the way that he taught that crowd all those years ago? Because listening to the teachings of Jesus and trusting them to the point where we live like they're true can really make a difference in our lives. At the end of a long day or a busy week, it's easy to see people who want more from us as a nuisance or a bother. Our natural reaction can be to tell people to leave us alone, to look for some me time, or want to hide until it all goes away. What if we're able to see each other as Jesus sees us, as sheep without a shepherd, as people who have good intentions but really have no clear idea of where they're going or what they're doing, and to find compassion for each other? Whatever is happening in our lives, this story tells me that Jesus looks at each of us with that gut-wrenching compassion, and he teaches us a better way of life. Maybe we need to stop for a bit, recognize that for our best of efforts, we're still a little bit lost, and we listen with fresh ears to the teachings of Jesus. I wonder. Amen.